Good morning. Good, good to be here again in this lovely summer morning. But it is lovely to be here. This is Jesus' words that we are focusing on this morning, and they are perhaps the most important words that he could have said for us to listen to, and not only to listen to, but to carry them through. The greatest commandment, and Dan has introduced that for us. Now, next slide. Thank you. This was the week before Jesus was crucified, and the opposition by the religious leaders was immense. They were trying to catch him up. He was a public enemy as far as they were concerned, number one, and they wanted to destroy him. They were planning to kill him, and they were doing everything they could to trap him. They were arguing with him in public, trying to get him to say things that would either condemn him by the Romans or condemn him by the Jewish people, by him claiming to be the Lord. They had made up their minds that he was toxic. They'd made up his minds that he ought to go, their minds that he ought to go. And so they got together, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who normally argued with each other, and the scribes and the teachers of the law, who had lots of disagreements. They got together, like enemies often do when they've got a common enemy, to try and get rid of Jesus. And so there was conflict, there was debate in the temple. Public debate, which was common, where rabbis or the religious leaders would lecture in the public place, a bit like Speaker's Corner in London, and there would be an open debate. And they were doing this with Jesus, but just to trap him, to catch him out. Next slide. And this is what we read. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. The Pharisees were the most strict group of the religious leaders. They were the ones who really wanted people to adhere to every one of the 613 laws, and they made life unbearable for the people because they were constantly down on them, saying, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, or you're doing this when you shouldn't be. And they had so many laws that the people didn't know where to turn to. And they got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And so here's a man who'd spent his days studying the law, and he wanted to trap Jesus, and said, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, next slide, thanks. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. These are Jesus, the Son of God's words for me this morning, for me tomorrow morning, and the rest of my life. Love the Lord your God, Alistair, with your whole being. Your whole being, your emotions, your heart, your mind, your thinking, your reasoning, your will, everything. And our love for God has to be wholehearted. We are to love him with all our energy, all our energy, all our will. Not a half-baked commitment that occasionally brings God into our minds on a Sunday morning or every now and then when we just remember him, but rather a true faith that responds every day to our Heavenly Father and who loves him with deep affection and purpose, bringing him, bringing the Lord into every corner of our lives. That's what he's asking of us, and longing to bring him pleasure. You know, some of you may have fallen in love at one time or another. And I can remember when our son fell in love. He wasn't the greatest at how can I put it, looking after himself. He wasn't the tidiest, nor would he be the kind of, he spent a lot of time in the bathroom getting ready to go out, but he fell in love. And that changed. We couldn't get into the bathroom. Total change when we fall in love. But you know, we need to understand the Lord's not talking about falling in love with him, although that is part of it. We need to understand that biblical love is not a feeling. It's not primarily an emotion, although it comes with an emotion. But it is an attitude of heart, of mind to our Lord, that we would do anything for him. And that's what biblical love is about. And the Lord says that is the greatest commandment. Next slide, thanks. The loyal Jewish man every day would pray this prayer several times. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. And they had this sometimes tied onto their clothes to remind them. They had them on the doorposts, and as they would go out and in the house, they would touch it to remind them that they were to love the Lord their God with all their heart. It's quite good, actually, to have remembrances. I used to have, it fell off eventually, a little cross sticker in the back windscreen. So every time I looked in the mirror, I saw the cross of Jesus. And that was a reminder to me of what God had done for me in Jesus. It's good to have reminders. And they did that, but it became a kind of dead reminder. That's the problem with reminders. It's sometimes we say the words, they touched the doorpost when they left the house, but actually that became just, they just touched it. They didn't think about what they were doing. It's possible to do that, isn't it, with God? And later on in Leviticus, the Lord says this, you shall teach them, sorry, it's in Deuteronomy, you shall teach them thoroughly the commandments to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for a reminder between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. The Lord says, keep remembering me. Keep remembering my words. Don't let me out of your sight or out of your memory. That's why there's communion, isn't it? The Lord said, remember me. Remember me. And we have these emblems that remind us. And we don't take the bread and think that's nice bread. We take the bread and we remember the sacrifice that the Son of God made for us, and we say, thank you, Lord. And we take the wine and remember that his blood was shed for us. Remembrances. And it's just so good to have that. And ask the Lord to help you to remember him and what he has done for us. Next slide, thanks. Let me introduce you to Harris. Harris is our last born in our family. He's number four. He's 2 years old. Came into our lives just about 2 years ago. Now, this dog has taught me so much. He loves us to bits. In the morning, it's as if we've been away for a year. When we come downstairs and take the blinds off his cage. If we go outside to empty the bin and come back in, it's as if we've been away for a year. When we come with the shopping, he's desperate to see us. He jumps up on the sofa beside us and longs to snuggle in. If we're working in the house, he's between the living room and the kitchen, and he's in the doorway in between. sitting, watching us, waiting. And you know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for us to stop working and come in and sit down so he can come and sit beside us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I know he's just a dog, but use things like that. God gives us his creation to remind us of himself. And you know, there's a reversal to that too. As he stands in the doorway, I sometimes think, that's just that the Lord. He's saying, Alistair, will you stop this fretting? Will you stop what you're doing and come back to me? Come and sit down with me. See that worry you've got? Trust me. And you know, it's just such a pleasure to see God in creation. But why does he love us, this wee dog? He loves us because we care for him. He loves us because we have given him a home, a security. We take him walks. We give him food. We give him treats. We pat him, we rub him, we play with him, we throw the ball for him 100 times, and we play and we love him. And you know, the scriptures tell us this. Next slide. The psalmist put it like this: I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. We love the Lord because of all he means to us, of all the care that he gives us day by day by day. You are alive because of this God. You had breakfast, if you had breakfast, because of him. You have food because of his creation and his power. You have hot water in your house, probably all of you, because of the energy that God gives through his creation. You have people that look after the streets, that empty the bins, that when you go to hospital, look after you. Why? Because God has created people with a desire to help. God has given you so many physical blessings. You cannot count them. I want you to think about all the things you've done this morning. Think about going into the shower and having hot water flow over you. Isn't that a lovely feeling? And really, at the end of the day, that comes from the Lord. And think of all the spiritual blessings that he has given you. The Bible tells me that before I was born, he knew all about me. He allowed me to be created because he loved me and wanted me to be in a relationship with him, to enjoy him. It's as if he's standing at that door like Harrison saying, Alistair, will you still stop doing what you're doing and just come back? Come to me. I love you. And more than that, he listens to my prayer. We've been praying this morning several times. And he knows our prayers before we even say them. And he knows what we need more than we know what we need. And he blesses us. If we trust him, he blesses us with his presence every day. Last night when you were sleeping, he was there beside you, protecting you, looking after you. He never sleeps. He is the Lord God who loves you from the bottom of his heart. And that's why we love him. John the disciple said this when he wrote to some young Christians. This is true love. Now listen to this. This is true love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God didn't just say, oh, I love Alistair Fyfe. I've got a warm feeling when I think about Alistair Fyfe. And I'm not surprised he doesn't get a warm feeling when he looks at me, but he doesn't just do that. He says, I love Alistair, and I am going to give to Alistair my most precious possession. I am going to give my one and only well-loved son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to die on a cross because I love Alistair Fyfe, so that Alistair Fyfe's sin can be forgiven and I can have a relationship with him for eternity. You put your name instead of mine. The Lord loves you to the depths, an unfathomable depth. We cannot measure it. We just sing deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide of the love of God. And John finishes when he talks about how do we know this love? Because Jesus died for us. The Father and the Son schemed, designed this, that he would die so that you and I could be forgiven. And you sit here in this church because Jesus Christ suffered on a cross for you. And when we say that, or when we hear these words, our response should be, Lord, thank you. I love you in return. God's love is a verb. It's not just a feeling. It comes out in compassion and action, and it's sacrificial love. And that's the kind of love that the Bible speaks about. Not just a feeling. And Paul said this in Romans chapter 5, God's love, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, he says God's love has been poured into our hearts, poured, not drip, 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 poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's a compassion that urges us and urges him, first of all, to act in our interests all the time. God is doing things in your life all the time, every second of your life. He is working to make things the best for you. And sometimes, yes, that means him taking us through difficult times, times we wish he'd never had to go through. And that's a fact of life. 100% of us will go through difficult times. And God has not lost control there. He has allowed you to go through that and even designed it so that you can be closer to him, so that you can help other people, so that you can be blessed. Sore. It's sore at times. But God's love is a self-sacrificial love. And that's biblical love. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. Next slide, thank you. I think it's C.S. Lewis this quote comes from. We can understand the attributes of God in other ways, but we can only understand his heart, the Father's heart, when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whichever one of us believes in him, we would not die, but have everlasting or eternal life. That's God's love. And don't you go out of here. Don't dare go out of here without, don't touch that door without saying, Lord, thank you for loving me and thank you for Jesus. He died for you. He died for me. There is no greater love than that. Next slide. And then says Jesus, he didn't stop there. His second commandment is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he's quoting from Leviticus chapter 19 here, where that chapter is focusing on our relationship with other people. our neighbors, as the scriptures call it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord. I actually had to speak on this subject just a few weeks ago to a young children's club in a church from 4 years old up to 12-year-olds. It's interesting, I asked them, what made them love their mum or their dad? And it was fascinating. One of them said, because they gave me life. Isn't that lovely? Why do I love the Lord? Because he gave me life. Why do you love your mum? Because she gives me cuddles. Why do we love the Lord? Because he puts his arms around you and loves you and cares for you. That's God. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And later on in Leviticus, listen to these words. The Lord commands this: when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. Oh, this is relevant to the 21st century, isn't it? The foreigner residing amongst you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Do you not remember, says the Lord, you were in Egypt and you were enslaved and you were treated so badly. How can you now treat other people in your country? Now you're free in your own country. How can you treat them badly? Are you forgetting the terrible things happened to you? Oh, don't do that. Love them as you love yourself. Now, when I get up in the morning and go in to shave and look in the mirror, I don't say, Alistair, I love you. Do I? That's not how I love myself. How do I love myself? I love myself by the fact I've had a warm bed. I've got heating in the house. I've just had a lovely cup of coffee, freshly brewed. I will have breakfast. I will have, as I've said, a hot shower. I will shave. I will look after myself. Love is not a feeling like it is caring for ourselves and caring for others. Who's my neighbor? Jesus was asked that question. The Jewish people had a very limited view of who their neighbor was, and that's how they got round this commandment. My neighbor has to be a Jew. So when they were praying, they would pray for fellow Jews, and they would care for fellow Jews. It preferably had to be a man, and certainly no foreigner. And also, it had to be, even in amongst the Jews, it had to be a Jew that they got on with. So that's pretty limited, isn't it? And the Lord says, hey. And he told the story of the Good Samaritan, didn't he? He told the story of how we need to love. Next slide, thanks. Jesus' teaching is very clear on this. And here is a challenge for me. Love the foreigner among you in this village, in the south of Glasgow where I live. The Good Samaritan, do you remember that story? The Jew who was beaten up and left for dead, and the religious Jews, two of them passed by. I remember coming out of the hospital one morning before church, and I was just having done a ward round, and I was just in time to get to church for the service. And as I came out of the hospital in the car and swept round a corner, there was this man lying in the ground, and I knew he was just drunk. I just knew that. That's Glasgow. And I thought, oh, somebody else will deal with him. I didn't get far, and the Lord says, hey, Fife, get back there. Love your neighbor. I was so keen to get to church and tell God that I loved him, that I would ignore one of my fellow human beings. How selfish can I get? And I discover that my heart is by nature selfish unless the Lord works in it. Who is the neighbor? And this Jew was helped by a foreigner. And the Jews couldn't understand that. A Samaritan who was their enemy actually helped a Jew out. Listen. Listen to what God is saying to you and to me this morning. And in Matthew chapter 5, towards the end of in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies, foreigners. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. There's a guy I worked with for 20 years who made life miserable for me at work. The Lord asked me to pray for him and to treat him well, because God had treated me well. I can't do that in my own strength. At times, I'll be honest, I hated that guy. At times, I kick him in the shin, and I would try and avoid him if I could. And the Lord says, hey, Alistair, I loved you. I've loved you for a long time, and you've caused me great grief at times, but I loved you, and I continue to love you. And I love this man. And Jesus also said, this greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. That's life. Give up your life in a war for your friends. But Jesus gave his life for his enemies. A new command, he said, I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the Lord was re-emphasizing the message of the Old Testament. Do you know that the Bible is actually God's love letter to you? The whole story is about God's desire, his longing, his desperate desire that you would respond to his love and be with him day by day. And that love would spill out of this church into Nethy Bridge and the surrounding area. And people would know you because you love one another. I'm so thrilled when people come to the Alpha group in our church, and almost all of them say, when we come into this church, we feel as if we are loved. We feel welcomed. Even though people do not know us, that's how the people of God should be. Do we love like this? Is there somebody in your mind just now that's hurt you, that's damaged you, maybe deeply and maybe decades ago even, or maybe right now? And the Lord says, I want you to love them. I want you to love them as you love yourself. Next slide, thanks. And everything hangs on these commandments, all the law and the prophets, the whole of Scripture, says Christ. They are summarized by these commandments. Now hear. Listen carefully, because I can't do this. I can't love my enemy. I can't love my neighbor. Never. I can't love some of the people in our church. But what does God do? He says, listen, you love me first. And if you love me and trust me, the Holy Spirit will enter you. And my love will flow from within you. And it's an endless stream of love. It will never stop, no matter how much you give it away. You will never run out of that love, because it's my love. And you pray for that person you don't like. Pray for that person that's hurt you or damaged you or whatever. Pray for your family. Pray that you continue to love your family as you ought. Pray that you would love the people in this congregation as you ought. You can only do it in God's strength. And that's why the first commandment is, in a sense, the most important, because it says, if you focus on me, then I will give you all you need to love others. And just when I was a teenager, there was a song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Some of you may remember it, maybe three people that are of that age. Just think, if people loved like this, there would be no wars. There wouldn't be any wars. There'd be no marriage breakdown. There would be no selfish driving in the streets. There'd be no fly tipping. There would be none of these things. Listen, where you walk each day, make sure that you are loving the Lord your God. And if you do that, then you will make an impact on the people that are around you. You will bring His love into their lives. God's love, which is amazing. Next slide, thanks. Our love for others is evidence of our love for God. And without that love for others, we cannot really claim to love God. Who you are influences people for Christ. Last slide, thanks. And remember Harris. And think about God's love for you and your response to Him for all His care, for all His compassion, for all His forgiveness, for a hope, for a future that is certain. Even when we die, meet with Him and be with Him, and we will meet those whom we love now forever. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your immense love for us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be literally channels of love that flow through us to reach other people, maybe the unreachable, maybe the unpopular, maybe those who have hurt us. Lord, show us and work within us, we pray, that we may love you with all our hearts, with all our beings. And thank you for Jesus, the ultimate expression of your love for us as He died on that cross. Amen.